Be then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's a question for you. What do you pray about first when you pray? What typically tops your prayer list? Well, today's scripture tells us what should be first, at least your first priority, at least your highest aim in prayer, at the heart level. We're not talking about legalistic. Every prayer has got to start the same way. The Bible certainly shows us a variety of firsts. But in terms of the heart priority, in terms of the aim, there is one for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And sadly, most people don't even get this on the list. Sadly, many Christians certainly don't have this as top priority. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And this model prayer is just so profound and applicable. We're only going to do four messages on it, but we could do many more if we wanted. There is, of course, the issue of if you pray. And Jesus assumes that his followers do pray, and not praying, of course, reveals serious problems in your relationship with God. This prayer text gives us answers to those problems. And then how you pray. Jesus calls us clearly here as he instructs his followers to a deeper manner of prayer, to not pray the way the pagans pray, the hypocrites pray, those who do not know God in a real and personal way. Today's model prayers, we're continuing in this, really shows us how. That's why I'm encouraged by this. It is definitive in instructing us and exhorting us, but also then pointing to the way and by the grace of God giving us a way of how to pray. And then, of course, what you begin with, this prayer, particularly as we look at it today, talks about, and I believe this is in alignment with all of Scripture, for everything in every believer's life all the time, the aim of our prayer as believers in Jesus Christ. And here it is. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We want the name of God to be hallowed. And of course, that's language we don't use a lot, so we're going to explain that more today. We're looking here in the second of our four-week message series in the Lord's Prayer to apply this phrase, this profound praise. And it really gets at the idea of the reputation of God. What do we want the reputation of God to be? And of course, the language here is quite unfamiliar to us, not only hallowed, but this whole idea of name. Of course, we see that a lot in the Bible, but it's not the way we typically speak and talk. So we got a lot to explain here today, and I'm excited to explain it, but let me just give you a little idea. You know, something about this name stuff does show up in our culture. Let me give you an example of this. There are at least three notorious criminals in America in the last 20 years, headline, with the last name Peterson. And it bothers me that they have brought disrepute to the name. It feels like somehow, even though I'm not related to these people, thankfully, that somehow I'm involved in this because my name, my good name, is plastered across the headlines again and again with guys that do horrible things. So we know there's something here that even we in our own culture, although in a different time and place, understand, and we're going to consider and apply this phrase today. And of course, we're here in day 11 of our 21 days of prayer, praying for the agenda of the king. How many of you are praying? If you are, thank you. And of course, this is about the agenda of the king. Your kingdom come is one of those prayer request. We're going to talk about that more next week. But this king of ours has an agenda, the advance of his kingdom. And so we're looking at this prayer as this model prayer so that we might, as his followers, advance the agenda of King Jesus, that we might be about that in our praying. And of course, this is, again, a long ways from the way that many people do pray. We looked last week at the Our Father aspect of this prayer, and if you can access that message online, you can get more details. But we pray this in all prayer only through Jesus. We pray this in all prayer openly to God the Father. We pray this in all prayer on mission with Christ's community. So we, as believers in Jesus Christ, have the wonderful privilege of approaching God in prayer as our Father. We unpacked some of that last week. Today, we're continuing this, and I just want to highlight the pray then like this. So the Lord Jesus here is instructing his followers. It's the prayer of Jesus in the sense, not that it's the prayer the Lord prayed, but it's the prayer the Lord gave. He gave this to his disciples, and he said, pray then like this, pray in this manner. He's not saying to pray this word for word, although that's okay. He's praying to pray in a pattern like this, with these kinds of attitudes, this kind of approach, these kinds of aims. And of course, your needs and whatever are coming in later in the prayer. But first, our Father, hallowed be your name. So we're talking about that today. Your kingdom come. We're praying for his glory when we say, hallowed be your name. We're going to talk at length about what does this mean. So we really get an understanding of these biblical terms that are unfamiliar to us oftentimes. But my goal is that you're going to understand this. I know exactly what hallowed be your name means when we get done here today. And then you're going to be able to apply this. And you say, that means in my life, this. That means in this world, this. And we're going to talk not only about what it means, but who does what is being requested here. Who is it that hallows God's name? And then how does this happen? This phrase is simple. You may say, how can you turn one phrase into a whole message, Pastor Bruce? So it is simple, but it is profound. This is deeply and richly profound. In many ways, what we're talking about today is not just this prayer, but all prayer, and not just all prayer, but all of our life as Christians, and all of history, and what God is doing in his grand work. It is the hallowing of the name of God. And that should be our first priority in prayer. This is what Jesus says. We should pray like. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's talk about first what it means. What does hallowed mean? Hallowed means to treat as holy or keep as holy. And what's this name stuff? Well, name in the Bible represents the person for who they really are. And of course, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you're like, oh, there's a lot of stuff in there about the name, such as baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three person, God in one. So that is who he is. Think about this prayer. This is startling. This is a prayer to God. And like, well, pretty much all prayers, right? Yep, all prayers to God. The one true and living God is the only rightful one to whom we pray. But this is a prayer about God. And most of the time when we're praying to God, we're not praying about God. But worship is about God. When we're adoring him, when we're honoring him, when we're seeking his glory, then the focus of the prayer is God. But interesting, this prayer is not only to God, about God, it is for God. Think of that. We're praying for the name of God to be advanced, the glory of his name, that more and more people would sincerely submit to and honor God as holy God. So it is to God, about God, and for God. So in summary, what I would say that this first priority is in our praying, put the spotlight on God. Now, for some, this may be a total reorientation of what prayer has been, but that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. In your praying, first, the priority is put the spotlight on God. Picture the scene, if you will. There's a stage, and the actors on the stage, or actresses on the stage, are all dark silhouettes, and then the spotlight comes. And that particular actor or actress in the spotlight is what is noticed. So think of your praying. Where do you put the spotlight? Well, a lot of times, it's on me, my life, my needs, et cetera, et cetera. Me, me, me. Prayer is about me. I put the spotlight on me. It's not the way to pray. Put the spotlight on God. Sometimes people put the spotlight on their problems. Wow, problems, big problems. Look at those problems. And, of course, we can pray to God about our problems, and we can pray to God about our needs, and that's very legitimate. But then first we should say, no, put the spotlight on God. And it does change how we see ourselves, our problems. Some may say, no, I'm going to pray for others. I'm very altruistic. I'm going to make it all about others. And there's a problem with making it all about others, because you can quickly turn others into an idol. Your family, et cetera, et cetera. The people you care about, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, oh, you're just exalting them. No, put the spotlight on God. And then you rightfully will pray for others. Give him glory. I believe that's the point of this. Seek his glory. Of course, numerous scriptures we could say. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do. Of course, this is prayer, but this is life. Do it to the glory of God. That's what this request means. We're asking that God's name would be treated or kept as holy, that God would be acknowledged as the holy God he truly is, that God would do this, that we, as we pray it, we do put the spotlight on God, and we're praying that more people would put the spotlight on God and give his glory and seek his glory. Let's just look at a few scriptures related to the hallowed, and maybe the slides were going there, I don't know, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, uses the exact same Greek word as Matthew 6:9, that there in Matthew 6:9 is translated hallowed. It's kind of that older English, but even the newer translations tend to keep this language, although we don't normally use this word hallowed. But there, it's one of those rare places in the New Testament where this same Greek word is used of something that is already holy. Multiple places, it's of us and other things being set apart or sanctified by God. Unholy things being made holy and set apart and sanctified by God through the gospel. But here, there's the exhortation for believers to keep something as holy, to acknowledge it as holy, to honor it as holy when it already is holy, such as the same kind of thing happening in Matthew chapter 9 or 6, verse 9. Peter, writing to believers, says, in your hearts, set apart as holy Christ the Lord, or honor Christ as holy Lord, some translations say. But it's the same Greek word, this idea of treat and honor as holy. And in this case, just like Matthew 6, verse 9, it is honoring and treating something as holy, which already is. Let's look at a few scriptures related to this idea of name. Great job, worship team, of today leading us a lot of songs about the name. Name in the Bible is represented the person for who they really are. And if you look at Psalm 103, verse 1, Psalm 34, verse 3, we can see this in the Hebrew parallelism. Parallelism is where two things are said in the same meaning a different way. So here in Psalm 103, it's an appeal to the individual worshiper, bless the Lord, O my soul. So the soul is being charged here to bless the Lord. Next line, bless his holy name. The Lord and his holy name are the same. It's acknowledging God for who he is as holy God, the person of God being blessed for who he really is as the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord, that's of course God himself, with me, and let us exalt his name. Two different ways of saying the same thing. Magnifying the Lord and exalting his name. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, and this was the scripture from which one of those songs was launched. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And that doesn't mean the letters, L-O-R-D, is a strong tower, or even if you said it in Hebrew. That doesn't mean that the vocalization of the Lord, or even if you said it in Hebrew, is a strong tower. It means that the person of God, for who he really is a strong tower that provides refuge and security for his people. This is the covenant name of God. And that's the name. So when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, Christ followers are asking God to advance the keeping and the worshiping of God for who he really is as holy God. We're asking God to do that. And as we do that, of course, we are entering into that. That's the beautiful part of this. You're saying, oh, it is about you, God. I am putting the spotlight on you, God. And this is a wonderful way every time we come to prayer, when we pray in this biblical manner, when we pray with this as our first priority, of reorienting us. It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about my problems. It's about God. It's not about even others. It's about God. It's about God. Hallowed be your name. In many ways, every phrase of this Lord's Prayer is for the hallowing of God's name. We could say, your kingdom come, that your name might be hallowed. Your will be done, that your name might be hallowed. Give us this day our daily bread. Why? It isn't really about us. It's about his name being hallowed. Give us forgiveness and cleansing from our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why? That your name might be hallowed. Why are we asking God to deliver us from the evil one? That his name might be hallowed. Every aspect of prayer and this prayer, ultimately, when it's prayed rightly, biblically, is about God and his glory. And of course, so often prayer has been twisted around to making a big deal about us. So how do we make a big deal about God rather than making a big deal about us? Let's continue to look deeper at this prayer and who does what is requested. All the residents of heaven do this perfectly all the time, right now. The angels, they say, holy, holy, holy. This is sincere worship of God, sincere acknowledging the holy name of God comprehensively all the time. That's what the book of Revelation tells us, right? And the redeemed in heaven, they're doing a great job at worshiping God as God. And of course, the rebels of humanity do not. Once you cross down the plane of earth, there's where we got some problems, right? Not a lot of hallowing of the name. And the unredeemed, or those who look at God as somebody just to bail them out when they get in a jam, of course, they're not doing this. They're not, and they're not able to, really, biblically and theologically, hallow the name of God. But gospel believers can. That was because we're great? No. It's because Jesus has come, give himself for us, open that access, we can call God our Father, and now he invites us into this relationship with God where we are more and more hallowing the name of God. And our longing, our deepest longing, especially as we grow in maturity as believers, our deepest longing is that God's name would be hallowed more and more. We are hallowing the name of God more and more, and our deepest longing is that God's name would be hallowed more and more. And this instructive prayer is given to gospel believers. So this is not a prayer for the unredeemed. It's a prayer for those who believe in Jesus. It's gospel believers asking, I believe, at its core, for God's glory to be advanced more by more people believing the gospel. And as more believe the gospel, more are gospel believers, more are giving God more of that rightful hallowing of his name. And as we're growing in our relationship with Christ, we're seeking more to hallow the name of God. So if we're like, I couldn't care less about the hallowing of God's name, of course, we're light years away from where God wants us to be. But we come to know Jesus, this desire shows up on our radar. And as we grow in him, this becomes more and more and more and more of our focus. I hope wherever you're at in your journey, you're saying, oh, so that God wants that to become more and more and more of my focus as I know God through faith in Jesus Christ. There's a twisted version of Christianity that says God is so crazy about you, he's making much of you. And I say, well, God is love and his mercy and whatever is amazing. So, but that's only half the story. God is not making much about you as much as God is making you into someone by his amazing grace who makes much of him, who seeks the glory of his name. So we gotta turn the spotlight to God. And of course, the gospel makes us into those kinds of believers. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Although this is addressed to God, about God, for God, the phrase implies a worshiping creature. And as a believer, that's you. And you're praying this as you worship and glorify God and seek his glory more and more when you pray. Today is day 11. As I said, of our 21 days of praying the agenda of the King. One of the things that I want to model in this time of prayer is that we're not just praying for Trinity, but we're praying together with other believers. And this prayer, as I said last week, is a prayer. It's a plural kind of prayer. It's not meant to be prayed solo. It's meant to be prayed in community and in connection with other communities of believers as well. And we're praying for the advance of the gospel in conjunction with others, including Converged Churches, that's our fellowship, and with this local church in Medfield, First Baptist of Medfield, and developed a connection with Pastor Hunter Guthrie, the new pastor there, and that church is desperately in need of revitalization, and we want to come alongside Pastor Hunter and that church. And we're exchanging prayer requests, so I'm going to give him some Trinity prayer requests, and he gave me their prayer requests. And these are going to show up in some sheet, whether it's the prayer event or some other thing. But the first request that Pastor Hunter gave me, I want to make that our request too, for us. And it relates right to what we're talking about. He said this: pray that God would make himself the greatest desire of our hearts so that we would want to follow him in all things. If that's what churches are about, everything else takes care of itself. That God would make himself the greatest desire of our hearts so that we would want to follow him in all things. Yeah, and they need more solid believers to join with them in their vision to establish a gospel presence there. And they've got an alpha class coming up for people that are interested in Christianity and maybe have little background to hear more. And he's asking to pray for those things. But I love that focus on God himself and our hearts desiring him the most. You know, in this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As you look at it in the Greek, there's a wonderful kind of way that the you is accented, which I think in the English kind of is missed. But it is a prayer related to the name of God. So in the Greek, the ending is sa'u. That's the possessive of you, God. And the kingdom of God, sa'u, and the will of God, sa'u. So the ending in all three phrases is you. You, you, you. Your prayer, the first focus of prayer, and these first three of the petitions of the six in the prayer is a God, God, God. It's about God. It's about the glory of God. It's about desiring God and honoring God and following God. Is that the way you're praying? You, you, you. My prayer is that we would grow deeper in that, seeking His glory as we pray. And if you may be like, Pastor Bruce, I don't know much about how to do this, then that's exactly what kind of thing we offer in our small groups. Whatever the topic is, we're as we grow in our understanding of God's word and applying God's word, we're orienting our life more around God and His agenda for us and our lives and our relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you, if you're like, hey, I don't know how to do that, then go sign up for a small group, find one that the Holy Spirit is leading you to, and get in that and grow together with other believers. Or even if you're not yet a believer, open yourself up to those folks and share with them, and they'll help you make sense of God's word as you talk about it together. Let's look a little bit and just kind of accent. I think we've already been talking about this some, but I want to make clear, how does this happen? How does the hallowing of your name happen? And I'm stepping back and a little bit going theological here. Bear with me. But I think this is important to do because this prayer and this phrase is very multi-layered and deeply profound. And I liken it to if I had a rope here. I looked for a rope with three strands. I couldn't find one. But imagine I had a rope with three strands and the rope was held together. But I pulled the strands apart and kind of said, here's strand one, here's strand two, and here's strand three of this your kingdom come, hallowed be your name request. And I think there are three strands in this that in prayer believers should hallow the name of God. That's the ethical strand. Guys, there's something you should do. Hallow the name of God in your prayer. But here's another strand. I don't want to miss this. In history, God will. This is the eschatological strand. And many people think of eschatology just in terms of amillennial, premillennial, post-trib, pre-trib. But no, eschatology is God's grand plan for what God is doing in history. And God has done something remarkable in history. That is, Jesus has come, part A. And God is going to do something remarkable again in history. Jesus come again, part two. And in both of these, Jesus come part A and Jesus come part two, God is advancing the hallowing of His name. And then, by the gospel, believers can. This is the evangel. This is like, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted the gospel, you can hear this and go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You won't do it. It is only through personal faith in Christ, because Jesus has come and done His mighty work on the cross to deliver you from sin and reorient you toward God, that you now know God and can grow in God, and as a believer, because of the gospel, you can, day by day, hallow the name of God more and more. Let's talk about these real quickly. In prayer, believers should. This is the first of all six petitions here in this prayer, but I want to emphasize, I believe it's a passion for believers. Why do I say that? In the Greek, the verb on these, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, they are not kind of like, okay, God, if you want to do this, that'd be fine. They are imperatives. In other words, the believer is pleading with God, God, hallow your name. We are desperate for the hallowing of the name of God. We want God to do this, and we're pleading with God to. This is a passion of us. And of course, through the gospel we can, we enter in this, we pray for more people to do it, and we're praising God that by His grace He has made this possible and He's advancing this through the work of the gospel. Can we say something together here just to reorient ourselves in our prayer thinking? Here's a statement I want us to say aloud. Prayer is bigger than what we need or what we get. Can we say that? Prayer is bigger than what we need or what we get. It's about God. And we passionately pursue God and the glory of God. That's prayer. And I know we're all in a journey here. I like what Julie said. So grow in that. Grow in that. If that's light years from where you're at, then begin the process of saying, well, I'm going to take the first step of growing in that. I'm going to pray sincerely, hallowed be your name. In history, God will. This is exciting. And in many ways, God already has. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. That's big news. We're going to see some scriptures in a few minutes talk about that. And who spoke this? Jesus. Who is he speaking this to? Jesus' followers. What was Jesus doing? Bringing the kingdom. What did he then do? Go to the cross and die for sins and rise triumphant from death. And at his coming again, he's bringing it in all of its fullness. You know, the ending of this verse, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, many people assume that's just with the last phrase. God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven right now, there's no problem doing God's will. It's being done perfectly. That we're praying that Jesus brings it down. And when he comes back, he's going to bring it down. And because he's come, he has begun to bring it down. But I want to think about, I believe that that last phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, probably applies to all three. So let's think about hallowed be your name. In heaven right now, the name of God is being hallowed perfectly all the time. God in his redemptive plan is bringing to earth the hallowing of his name. When Jesus comes back in all of his fullness, in all that he brings, that's what's going to be happening here on planet Earth. The hallowing of the name of Jesus on Earth. The gospel is how he did this. By his finished work on the cross is how he did this. Then these words spoken by Jesus to Jesus' followers, he came bringing the kingdom, going to the cross for us. Let me share with you a quick quote from Martin Luther. In his larger catechism, there's a portion on the Lord's Prayer. And Luther, one of the methodologies he used in discipling believers as he was lamenting the lack of discipleship amongst professing Christians at the time of the Reformation, one of his methodologies was these catechisms. One of the biggest things that he did and teach about was the Lord's Prayer. He thought that if believers understood the Lord's Prayer and what it really was, they would be well on the way to growing in their Christian life. And in that format, the catechism asks the question, how is God's name hallowed among us? Great question, Martin. And, of course, he gives the answer. The answer is this, he says, when both our doctrine and our life are godly and Christian. When our doctrine and our life are godly and Christian, we will be hallowing the name of God. And, of course, we need to know the scripture for our doctrine to be right, and we need to grow in obedience and in character for our life to be godly and Christian. And that happens through the gospel. It's not about us trying harder. It's about what Jesus has done and us receiving his grace and growing in relationship with him. Let me take you to the Old Testament. I know this may seem sort of off the trail, but it's so powerful. I had to take you to the book of Ezekiel. And say, where? Ezekiel? Yes, Ezekiel. Because in Ezekiel, God, in Ezekiel 36, go home and read it. It'll make you jump out of your chair like it made me jump out of my chair when I read it. God is concerned for the glory of his name, the honoring of his name, again and again in Ezekiel 36. And then God tells how he is going to do this. And the way that he's going to do it is the new covenant. The way he's going to do it is not just bringing Israel back from exile in Babylon. That's just the beginning. The way he's going to do it is the sending of the Messiah and putting a new spirit in people and writing his word upon their hearts. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, a few scriptures. This is in the context of Israel's sin and rebellion and the dishonoring of God's name. And it says this in Ezekiel 36, 21, as he was sending them into exile, I had a concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is God speaking to Ezekiel and the message he gives. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things. but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. Ezekiel 36, verse 23, I will show the holiness of my great name. I will show the holiness. In the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, exact same Greek word as Matthew 6, verse 9. Hallowed be your name. I will show the holiness. Who is the one who advances this? It is God by his grace. And what is the mighty work that God does to show the holiness of his name? If you look at Ezekiel 36, let me just share with you some high points. Cleansing from sin is promised in the new covenant. A new heart is promised in the new covenant. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Spirit within us is promised in the new covenant. All three of these are already happening in the life of a believer. All three of these are gospel promises that God has fulfilled in the sending of Jesus the Messiah for us. And of course, the fourth, that the earth will be like Eden, that hasn't happened yet, has it? Doesn't seem like Eden out there, does it? That's not yet. But that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, part B. So the gospel is how we hallowed the name of God. God does this, and believers embrace it. So what's your response? Is this true in you, in your prayer, in your life? Let me use the illustration of a computer, if I would. That computer or laptop you have there at home, it isn't going to type a Word document or enter anything onto a website unless you boot it up. If you don't know Jesus by personal faith, if you haven't received the gospel, I'm glad you're here, but I want to encourage you, you need to boot up. And how do you boot up? You boot up by a personal response in the person of Jesus who died for you. It is only through the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can know God as our Father. It's only through the gospel that we can seek him. It's only through the gospel that we even want to seek him, to keep and honor his holy name. And as you receive Jesus by faith, you do. You know God in that personal way, and you want to grow in that. So receive Jesus by faith today. That gets your computer on, so to speak. Now, many of us have received Jesus, so I'm, for purposes of this illustration, your computer is on. But what are you typing into this computer? Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Maybe you need to change what you're entering, or at least shift the priority. Now, God wants us to pray about our needs. He instructs us in that. He wants us to pray related to the struggles and the injustice of the world. He wants us to pray about that. He's not opposed to those things. He wants us certainly to pray for the advance of his work and his church. But ultimately, at the top, all of those are to advance the hallowing of God's name. He calls us into this deeper prayer. So as we come to God as our Father, we seek first God. We seek first that God be worshipped. And the glory of God is our aim in prayer. The glory of our God is our aim in life. That's what we're typing in. That's the way Jesus told us to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. We praise you for your mighty work in history, in the new covenant established by the sending of your Son, Jesus, Messiah, who gave himself for us, who spoke these words to his followers. And so as we come to you with that access that we can call you Father, Lord God, we want to put the spotlight on you. Hallowed be your name. We want to be about the worship of you and the glory of you. We want to be those people who make much of you and long for others to know you that they too might make much of you. And we thank you for your grace that rescues and reorients us from rebels to worshipers. May you advance that work in us, in this community of believers, in your people, in this generation. May you advance that work as the gospel goes forth and more people hear and more people believe in Jesus, and by that response, join the chorus who sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. We thank you, Lord. We pray this. We ask it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we conclude.